Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for choosing to come and gather and worship our Lord and Savior this day. Let us all rise and sing hymn 519, Love Lifted Me. I just want to take time and read a quick verse. This is out of Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Let's give that honor back to him as we sing the Spirit of the Living God, hymn number 90. And we're going to be singing it two times through, so let us gather together. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, for the celebration of who you are and all that you've done for us. We ask for a special blessing over this service. May the words come forth, and may we listen, may we hear them, may we open our hearts and our ears to them, and may we use them to do your duty, to do your good work, to go forth and spread your love. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. As we continue this time of praise and worship, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements, and you'll notice the church calendar in your bulletin. Please make note of everything taking place here at Trinity, and as the Spirit of God leads you to be involved, may you follow his leading and get plugged in. On the back of your bulletin, friends, there's a couple announcements. We are now collecting school supplies for those in need, and so if you want to go out and gather up some school supplies, and there are a couple bins in the fellowship hall, you can bring those in and just put them in the bins, and then our Trinity Care ministry team will, you know, gather those up, package them in the right appropriate manner, and get those down to the school as well. And then lastly, we have a couple special honors here today. And a little bit while later in the service, we are going to be privileged and honored and to be a part of the baptism of Ava Marie Brubaker. And friends, in the baptisms, a lot of it really entails with listening to God's voice. And so this morning, I also want to call up the individuals, Nick and Greg and Charlene. If you guys would come forward. Mike Holcomb is not here. And for those of you here at Trinity, you also know that Ray Solo, he is now pastoring at Pemberville United Methodist Church. If you guys would join me down front, right down there. These are individuals that have heard God's voice, and they have chosen to follow. And that following for them, now following God doesn't look the same for everybody. I want everybody to know that. But following for them means to pursue full-time ministry. And a little bit later when we baptize Ava, one of the things that it means for Ava is going to be specifically for her. You see, we can't tell what God's will is for any other individual. It's between that individual and God. But we all must determine in our hearts, minds, and souls that we are going to listen to God. And so after the service, we would invite everybody to the fellowship hall just to encourage Nick and Charlene and Greg, and then when Mike is back next week, to give him a word of encouragement as well, and to stay for cookies and punch as well. And if you're like me, the cookies will draw you every time. So, but we want to encourage Nick, Greg and Charlene, and so at this time, if you would bow your heads and your hearts, and may we offer up a prayer of encouragement and protection and leading as these individuals follow the living Lord and listen to his leading for their life. Let's pray. Gracious God, we bless you, O Lord. We thank you for the privilege and the honor that you are a God who yearns to commune with us, who yearns to talk with us. We thank you, Father God, that it's not just this aimless wandering through life, but it's your desire to be personally in a relationship with every single one of us, from an infant such as Ava to adults who have heard your call, such as Nick and Charlene, Greg and Mike and Ray, and are pursuing serving you fully in vocational ministry. So, Father, be with all of us. May you be with those that are stepping out. May you be with those that are, as Ava is, just beginning the journey. May you be with Josh and Lindsay as well. And Heavenly Jesus, may you just move every single one of our hearts, minds, and souls to be sensitive to your leading, to that still small voice, and to hear what it is that you would have us to hear. And to say, Jesus, lead me, guide me, show me your will. And may you be glorified in all ways, in everything. In the blessed name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Junior Worship Children's Church is now dismissed. For those in kindergarten through fourth grade, we have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And at this time, if we could turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. Our reading today is found on page 1502. I'm sorry, 1501, and it's Matthew 5. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for their righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." The Word of God. The ushers will please come forward to receive the gifts and offerings.
Kind and eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning we're continuing our series titled The Blessings of Following Jesus. And this morning we're going to talk about our inheritance. And in a few moments we're going to have the privilege and the honor and the blessing of baptizing Ava. And, you know, I thank you for all for being here. It's a joy to have you here with us. But the last couple weeks we've been journeying through what it means to be blessed. And so my question here is when you think about being blessed, how do you define what it truly means to be blessed? Probably most of us think of being blessed as having material things, having wealth and houses and cars and being able to travel and go on vacations and do the things that we want to do. Yet in Jesus' first sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount, he speaks these absolute statements of what it means to be blessed. We know them as the Beatitudes, and this week we're on the third one. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. 2 weeks ago, we talked about what it means to be poor in spirit and how we need to understand that we don't bring anything to God. It's nothing of our merit. It's nothing that we do. It's nothing that we say. It's no place that we go that can ever make us more acceptable to God. It's by grace and grace alone. And grace is unmerited favor. And it's only by the gift of Jesus, God's own Son, who laid down his life for you and for me, that all who shall believe in him and confess with their mouth that he is Lord, they will be saved, is what the Bible says. And when you are poor in spirit, and you acknowledge that you have nothing to offer God, and he is offering everything to you, the promise is that you will receive the kingdom of heaven. And the way that we receive the kingdom of heaven is through the peace that surpasses all understanding, through the joy, the unspeakable, inexpressible joy, through the hope, the confident expectation of what God is going to do in your life, through your life. You receive the fulfillment, the satisfaction, the purpose of what God has you here for. Last week we talked about what it means to mourn, and when we come face to face over our mistakes and the sinfulness that we have, we begin to mourn. And when we go to God, His promise is we will be strengthened. This week we're going to talk about what it means to be meek. And friends, these are blessings of following Jesus, and it is our inheritance. Jesus stated it this way. He said, "Blessed. Not that you will be blessed, but that you already are blessed. This is what God has done for you. It's what He wants to do in you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You see, this goes counter to the whole world. The whole world's message is this. You don't need to be poor. You need to be rich. The whole world's message is this. Get all you can. The world's message is he who dies with the most toys wins, right? That's the message of the world. And yet Jesus comes in and he says, if you're poor, it's the upside down kingdom. The first will be last. The last will be first. The rich will be poor and the poor will be rich. And yet oftentimes we listen more to the world than we listen to God, the one who created you and me. And ultimately, when we do that, we forfeit the blessing of the Creator. And I'm going to say it that way. When we choose to listen to the world, whether it's through the news programs, our friends, our family, whatever have you, the source, we choose to forfeit the blessings of the divine God. And we choose what the world has to offer. So Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Then he goes on and he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Strengthened is what comfort literally means. It's from the Latin words cum forte, and it means to strengthen and to shore up. This week we're looking at the third blessed statement, the Beatitudes, the attitude that you and I have to have if we are going to truly be blessed. And it's, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I want to break this up into three parts this morning. I want to talk a few moments about what it truly means and looks like to be blessed. Psalm 1, we're told, if we could go on here. Maybe we can't. No, I think there's Psalm 1. No Psalm 1? Somebody grab me a Bible here. Thank you, sir. To truly be blessed, it really requires that you and I determine the source of who we are going to listen to. We must determine that. If we don't determine that, then we are going to be tossed to and fro. We're going to just be wailing back and forth because we're going to listen to this person. We're going to listen to that news source. We're going to listen to that magazine or whatever. And we're going to listen to the message of the world. In Psalm 1, we're told, "Blessed is the person." Now notice the word "blessed," "who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever that man or woman does, they will prosper." Did you notice the connection? Blessed and prospering. Have you ever noticed that sometimes there's individuals that no matter what they do, it just prospers? Have you ever noticed that? Well, part of the reason for that is this. It's the source of where they are listening to. It's the source of where they're getting their guidance and their direction from. If they're listening to the world will chew them up. The world will chew you up. If you're listening to the message of the world as, "I'm not good enough and I have to look this way or do this or go here," you will be unending in your things that you have to do in order to feel like you have arrived and you have gotten the blessing. So we need to determine what we are listening to, who we are listening to. And to truly be blessed, we must determine in our hearts, minds, and souls that we are going to listen to God. And we do that by surrounding ourselves with godly people. We do that by being in church. We do that by reading His Word. And for some of you here today, that might be a radical thing, because you've already gotten gobbled up by the message of the world, and the world is taking you down a road, and I'm going to tell you what the end of that road is. It's unfulfillment, it's unsatisfaction, and it will just continually keep you on your toes doing certain things. For other of you, we've seen the end. Josh, Lindsay, for Ava, my hope is that you will raise her so that she will be sensitive to God's voice, sensitive to God's leading, because if you truly want what's best for her, and I've yet to meet a parent that doesn't want what's best for their children, you will raise her that way because she will be blessed. If she decides to listen to the Lord's voice, if you really want to be blessed, that must be your first and foremost decision right here, right now, today. Otherwise, you're going to forfeit it and you're going to walk away from it. Now, I'm not going to say that you're going to get incredible wealth. That's not what I'm going to preach here today. I'm not going to say that you're going to have 14 cars by the time you exit the building today. I'm not going to say that you're going to have 5 different homes. No, because the blessing of God, He knows what we need before we even need it. And many times, the blessing of God looks different than what we think it should look. But I'm here to tell you, it's always better than what the world has to offer. The second thing is that we need to, and there's Psalm 1. Thank you, Casey. The second thing I want to talk about is meekness. Matthew 11:29, this is Jesus speaking, and He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." The world says meekness is weakness. It's the very opposite, friends. Meekness does not constitute or connotate weakness. The original text in the Greek, the word for meek here, it literally indicates that, you know, it's speaking of that of an animal that has been broken to be useful on the farm. Now, I grew up on a farm, and I'm here to tell you, I never partook in breaking a horse, but we had horses growing up, and we had one horse, her name was Carmella. And then we had another horse, his name was Patch. Now, Patch was the biggest of the bunch, all right? And Patch was this gentle giant, and if you were young, and I was the youngest in my family, if you were young and you weren't unsure of how to ride, you always got Patch, okay? Because you knew what Patch was going to do. You knew how he was going to act. He was that power under control, meekness. He had been broken. He had all the power in the world, but he was so sensitive to the leading of the pulling of the bridle and pulling of the reins that if you pulled back, he would stop right now. If you kicked him in the sides, he would go and he would take off. And he was always waiting for that. Now, Carmella, on the other hand, I'm telling you what, it was like a roll of the dice. You didn't know what you were getting there. I mean, you know, you jumped on her and it was like you had to sign a release saying, "I understand the risk that I am about to take." I'm serious. And so my family, we always would say, you know what, you need to be a certain level of riding ability before you can get on Carmella. Because like I said, you just did not know. Sometimes she would see a branch on a tree and she didn't want to ride her on her back and she would go for that low branch. The intent was to take the rider off. Meekness is power under control. It is not weakness. Meekness is understanding that I am going to submit the power. And friends, God has wired all of us to be in power, to have authority over a certain amount of things. He has given you and me authority over your life, whether you realize it or not. He has given you that authority, that power to do what He wants you to do, but yet He doesn't force you to do what He thinks you ought to do. He gives you that free choice. And so we have a choice right here. If we want to be blessed, we must choose that we are going to be meek. There are two people all through Scripture that are spoken of as being meek. The first is Moses, the second is Jesus. Now, many times you'll see photos and paintings of Jesus, and you always see him as this weak little individual. And many times we separate the true picture of Jesus. Jesus the carpenter, the sun-bronzed skin, the man's man. Picking up the wood, hammering the nails in. And we picture Jesus as weak and mild. And we don't picture him in the temple of God saying, "I'm turning over the tables because this is not right." You see, every single time that Jesus submitted his life to God the Father, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's sweating drops of blood, and he's praying this, "Father, if it's possible, let it pass from me." But then he gets here in his meekness. He says, "But not as I would wish, but your will be done." He's tempted in Matthew 4 by the devil, and the devil's tempting him. He could have called legions of angels down. and he doesn't. He's hanging on the cross saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he could again call the host of legions of angels down when they were taunting him saying, you're not the Son of God. You're not who you say you are. And yet he's thinking of you and me. And he is meek. He's power under control because he says, nope, God the Father has deemed it necessary that I do this thing. That, my friends, is what it means to be meek. If you want the blessing of God, you must determine in your heart, mind, and soul. If you, Josh and Lindsay, want the blessing of God for that young life, you must determine in your heart, mind, and soul that we are going to do everything in our power and control to raise her up so that she is sensitive to the voice of God. And whatever that means, that's up to God. That's not between you and me. That's between Ava and God, as it is with Greg and Nick and Charlene and Mike and Ray. It's power under control. What it looks like Abraham. He's called by God, and he's living in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. And God says, come here, I'm going to show you a land. Abraham's like, where am I going? I'm not going to tell you where you're going. Just come. It's that type of submission. That type of submission where at times it will make no sense. At times it will be the absolute most confusing. My last year in seminary, God impressed upon my heart, sell your business. There was a gentleman in seminary, his name was Perry. He was an older individual, and he was a retired pastor. And he asked me this one question. I'm walking across campus to class. And he says, hey, buddy. He called me buddy. He says, where are you going to go? I said, I don't know. Are you in a denomination? I said, no. Well, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. Well, you sold your business, right? I said, yeah, I did. I'm out. It's all in for me. Then he stopped and he paused and he said this. He says, you know, come to think of it, I don't think anybody in the Bible knew where they were going either. They went. God says go. God says do. And they acted and they went. And it's when we listen that we will prosper. And prosperity may not look like stuff. It may not look like material things. But the prosperity will be in your heart, mind, and soul. And you will be like the individual that goes around and waters other people and gives them truth and hope and peace and love. You will be the individual that others gravitate to. Because you will be connected to the source of prosperity. But you must determine, I am going to be meek. I'm not going to be weak. You see, meekness stands up for the truth. Meekness says, nope, I am going to stand up for the holiness of God. I'm going to stand up for God. Years ago, I was going into schools and putting Fellowship of Christian Athletes huddles in the schools, and I went to a board meeting one day. They invited me in. They didn't tell me they changed the time. I get there, and they had this other, you know, item on the agenda, and all three news channels of Youngstown, Ohio were over there. 300-plus people in there. I walked up to the door, and I immediately turned around and walked out, and I'm like, I can't go in there. Walked down to the door going out, and I stopped at the door, and I said, you know what? If I go out this door, it's over. Turned back around, and I said, I don't care. I'm going to submit. I'm going to submit to what God calls me to, just like Jesus did. And he did it for your benefit and mine. He did it for you and me when we believe in him, that we will be given the eternity, the inheritance that he wants you and me to receive. That leads me to the third part. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. An inheritance is a portion. An inheritance is what we are to receive. Now, many times we read this verse and we think, you know what, I don't get anything until I die. You know what, it's all for naught. That's not the case. The earth is here and now. You see, God has a plan for you and for me. It's his heart's desire to give you a future. Part of the provisions that God has carved out for you is the shelter and the clothing and the food and all of the things that you need to live. That's how you inherit the earth here and now. The plans for a welfare and not for evil. The protection, the guidance, the wisdom to give you a future and a hope. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But blessed are the ones who submit their decisions to God. Because when you submit, he will give you what you need. He will cause you to choose what you need to choose. You will make the choices based upon him and not your own desires. Blessed are the meek, for you will hear from the Lord. And you will follow him and act accordingly. You see our trouble in our day? The mantra is do whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want. Don't listen. Just whatever the heck you want. If you want to go somewhere, go. And then we scratch our head and we say, why hasn't God blessed me? And then what's really worse is when people come to me or come to other people, and I've had family members that said this, and they say, you know what, this is God's will. And I look at them and I'm like, that's not God's will. You think that that's what God wants you to have? And then you think about a good father, a good mother who wants to give the best to their children, and God's a good God, and you're going to settle for second best, and that's ultimately what it is. You and I have to decide whether or not we're going to settle for second best or we're going to settle for what God wants for you. And I'm here to tell you, God wants to bless you beyond any comprehension that you could ever fathom. But we can't go to God and say, this is what my blessing looks like, Lord. It looks like a house and a car and a dog and a cat and three kids. That blessing of mine got blown up, I'm here to tell you. Blown up. But after 46 years of life, I married, for those of you that don't know, I married for the first time last September. And I'm here to tell you, the blessing of those 20-plus years of waiting, it's all worth it. Because she is the right one for me. And it would have never worked with anybody else. So the choice is ours. Josh, Lindsay, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And the godparents, if you guys would come forward as well. The choice is ours, friends. Are we going to choose God's best for us? And if so, it looks like we are going to listen. We're going to listen. You can join me right up here. And we're going to submit our choices unto him. You can stand behind Josh and Lindsay over there. Bronson, what's up, bud? Looking all dapper there, buddy. So, I don't think there's anything that brings me more joy than baptisms. I mean, new life. How cool is this? What an honor and a privilege it is to be here with Josh and Lindsay and the family and to celebrate, you know, just the absolute honor it is. I met with Josh and Lindsay, and I'll just share with everybody, baptism doesn't save anybody. Baptism, you need to, if you're baptized as an infant, you need to go through confirmation class. You can do that at any point in time. And confirmation class, as I explained to Josh and Lindsay, it's a time where you can publicly profess your faith as your own. You see, baptism, it exposes Lindsay to God's grace. And it's kind of like a watermark that, you know, God puts his watermark on this child's life. And then it's the duty of Josh and Lindsay to hold Ava up to God, because just as with a watermark, we don't know it's there if you don't look at it in the light. You can take a dollar bill and you can see the strip down the side. You can take a $20 bill or whatever, you know, monetary value you want. But until you hold it up to the light, you won't know that that is there. And the same is true with baptism. And Josh and Lindsay and the family and the congregation here, that we stand with them, it's our role to hold this young life up to the light of the world, and his name is Jesus. And so that's what baptism is. It allows Ava to receive the grace of God, and by so doing, it allows her at some point to make that choice of believing in Jesus as her Lord and Savior. As I mentioned, friends, baptism, it doesn't save anyone, but it's an outward and visible sign of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace is unmerited favor. It's something that we don't deserve. It's something that we can't ever earn our own. Ava will never be able to earn God's grace. It's given freely. All we have to do is embrace it. And through this grace, we become partakers of the Lord's righteousness. And we become heirs. And we receive our portion of life, and part of that life is eternity. Those receiving the sacrament of baptism are thereby marked as Christian disciples, and they're initiated into the fellowship of Christ's holy church. our Lord has expressly given to the little children, a place among the people of God, which holy privilege must not be denied to them. If you remember with me the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God." Josh and Lindsay, we had the opportunity to sit down and chat over the last week. And Josh and Lindsay, do you, in presenting Ava Marie for holy baptism, do you confess your faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? If you do, say we do. And do you therefore accept as your bounden duty and the privilege and the honor and the responsibility entrusted to you by the Lord of hosts, the Creator God, to live before Ava, a life that becomes the gospel, to exercise all godly care, that she shall be brought up in the Christian faith, and she should be taught the Holy Scriptures, and that she would learn to give reverent attendance upon the private and public worship of God? If you do, say we will. And will you endeavor to keep Ava under the ministry and guidance of the church until she, by the power of God, shall accept for herself the gift of salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ and be confirmed as a full and responsible member of Christ's holy church? If you will, say we will. Baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ava, we anoint these hands in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege of baptism. And the honor and the wonderful nature that you have blessed us with to partake in the baptism of Ava. And Jesus, we pray for this young life. We pray for Josh and Lindsay. And we ask that you would surround them with your love, that you would protect Ava and grant her your favor and go before her. And may she listen to your voice all the days of her life. We thank you, O Christ. We bless you now. In the holy name of the risen Savior, Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. So I got to tell you, when I went down to Faith, they made no uncertain terms that they want to see the babies. So this just increases my joy right here. Amen? Amen. So, I don't want to get in the picture there. All right. Isn't God good? Yes. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to give you this bundle of joy right back. All right, part of a baptism of an infant, it's our responsibility here as a church. And so I'm going to ask you to make a pledge. And before we get to Mary coming up, if you would, and if you choose to so stand with Josh and Lindsay and her family, if you would, please stand. And do you, the congregation of Trinity United Methodist Church, accept the responsibility of assisting Josh and Lindsay and praying for them and for Ava and walking with her godparents and the entire family in fulfillment of these baptismal vows? And do you undertake what it means to keep up the facilities and offer Christian educational opportunities so this young life can absolutely grow in the knowledge of God's grace? And will you undertake the providing the opportunities for any and all Christian nurture and fellowship? And if you will do such, please respond by saying, "We will, by the grace of God."
We will, by the grace of God.
You may be seated. Mary, if you want to come forward.
I'm loud enough to be heard. We like to, as your church, to give you a rose on her dedication. And she's beautiful. But I was reading, and in the Bible it says when God's people would dedicate something of great importance to the Lord and to themselves, they would celebrate joyfully, rejoicing, because God has given them such a great joy. And that's what Ava is to you and her family and to us as we are people of God who are going to celebrate with you and rejoice with you and to raise her up to know the Lord, that she is such a gift from God, and that she will know how much he loves her, and that that will never change. So, a rose just to
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. We're going to load you guys up here. So, we also have, to start Ava outright, a book, Baby's Little Bible and Prayers. And so we're going to present this to you. And what a wonderful opportunity, just to, never too early, to get God's Word. I mean, friends, the Bible says the Bible will never come back void, meaning it will always bring forth something. And so never underestimate God's Word. So we're going to present that to you as well.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
And then lastly, we have the certificate, so of this wonderful, wonderful occasion. So, all right. How about we pray one more time with Josh, Lindsay, Ava, and then the godparents. And so let's bow our heads and our hearts, and let's just rejoice. I mean, what a privilege and honor and just a fantastic, incredible, thing that this is. Gracious Jesus, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for Josh and Lindsay and Ava and Bronson, too. And Heavenly Father, we bless you for this family. And Lord, we pray for them. We pray that you would strengthen them, you would uplift them, you would just grant them your grace, your mercy, and your love. You would go before them and grant them your favor. And Heavenly Father, may you work your will in their life. We thank you for so many family and friends and the church family here that we have all chosen to stand with them. May we uplift them in prayer. May we be faithful in encouraging them. And may we be obedient in listening to what you're calling us to do. And we bless you now. We praise you and honor you. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. You guys can be seated, but be careful on the steps, please.
Go ahead. Let us stand. Excuse me. Let us stand and sing of the closing hymn, number 319, Blessed Assurance. And as we sing, let us think about our own baptisms and how we will support Ava and the Brubaker family.
And now as we close this morning, may you all take the time to encourage Nick and Greg and Charlene and Mike when he's here. But may you encourage Josh and Lindsay and just let them know of your support for them and your prayers that will continue for them. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you experience the blessings of God. And may you truly acknowledge the source by listening to that still small voice, by hearing his guidance and directives, and by submitting all your decisions unto him. May you and I depart in peace. Amen.